Welcome, love, to the Way of Grace podcast. I'm your host, Nina, faith-based and devotional leadership mentor for women who are inspired to bring love where it hasn't gone before. Inside this space, you'll find courageous conversations on restoring your relationship with God, emboldening your faith, healing with the masculine, and resurrecting your cherished feminine essence. I'm so grateful to have your heartbeat here. Let's dive in. Hi, love. Welcome back to the Way of Grace podcast. I'm your host, Nina, and today I'm sitting down with one of my dear sisters who I have known, oh goodness, for almost a few years now, Jess. One of my dear sisters, Jessica LaFalce, and Jessica and I connected, goodness, I believe it was the summer of 2021, and we just established this just beautiful container of mentorship together, and I have always just admired Jess for her boldness, her bravery, just like this fiery expression that she has of woman, and also this like softness and sweetness and just like the utmost care and consideration that she has for all those around her. Like, I really feel, Jess, honestly, like this embodiment of queen through your energy and like empress through your archetype. And, you know, of course, I felt myself so much in you when I met you, and I've just seen you evolve and grow and shift and pivot in so many beautiful ways over the last few years, not only in business and professionally, but in personal life. And, you know, I got to attend Jess's marriage ceremony just, oh my gosh, 2 years, 2 years. Has that been 2 years?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Time just flies by. This is wild. So yeah, Jess is just a woman, yeah, who was once a client, now a dear friend, a woman that I admire and I am always deeply inspired by. And Jessica really is very body-based like myself and teaches in the realms of the feminine body and really supports women in resourcing and nourishing their sacred sensuality and sexuality and really awakening their eros in this really beautiful and potent way and just owning and embracing, like, I'm just going to call it like the full spectrum of their womanhood, just really embracing their wholeness as women. And walking that path with them through the realm of the body so that we really develop even more potency as we live in our hearts and our bodies and our wombs. So yeah, we're just going to dive into so many things. And a lot of this conversation today, I think, is actually going to be quite a bit on marriage because Jessica and I are both, you know, pretty newly married. And we wanted to speak to some of, yeah, the textures that we've been learning through marriage and what has been unraveling and stabilizing and deepening and integrating through this process with our husbands. And yeah, we're just going to go all in. So Jess, I'm just so excited, so excited always to sit with you. And yeah, I would just love to hear, you know, just first, what's alive on your heart? Just what's alive? What's birthing for you?
Well, thank you, Nina, for that lovely introduction. I feel so many of the same things for you. What is alive for me? Gosh, I showed you earlier as we were kind of prepping that I've been going through some of my journals and just going through all the years of where I've been personally and in my partnership, now marriage, and in my career, and you were such a big part of that. And you know, where I feel like I'm at now is this really sweet space of, I'm going to be 40 this year. So I'm just in this space of just really marinating in what I've been cultivating for the past, what feels like a decade, maybe since I did my yoga teacher training in 2015. So almost a decade, this in every journal, I will say that in every journal, almost in every page, this word sensual has been a common thread. So I'm really in this like sensual component of my life and all the ways you can imagine that word to be meant. And we had a conversation that you were a part of for me and my program for women, but I feel like that's what's alive for me, just really fully sensually experiencing life. And that includes, you know, now being a wife, which, gosh, saying that out loud still feels weird. And I remember when I first got married, I was like, oh, husband, I don't know. And so we'll talk about that. But yeah, it's been a lot of I don't know, just like detangling some of the expectations and what marriage means to me and how I can reframe it and rewrite it. Like many women who are listening, I come from a broken family and I have a lot of wounds from that. And I came from a mother who, all well-intending, she, raised me and my sister to be very independent from as long as early as I can remember. It was, don't rely on a man. If I can think of anything that my mom said constantly, it was, don't rely on a man. On top of that, we weren't allowed to date. There was a lot of fear around men. So of course, naturally, when my hormones start raging, I, go into the opposite end of the spectrum. And so there's a lot of, and we talked about this before our conversation, is, being able to find this gray area and this sweet spot of not being so one or the other. And we're kind of going right into it, but I guess, we can, but, not being so, extreme that we're a submissive woman, or so extreme that we're hyper independent, but finding this real sweet spot. And I think that's where I am. So yeah, full circle. I think that's where I've come from. It's where I am. And of course I toggle in between those. We're all doing that as humans. But when I find myself in that sweet space, and if I'm honest, toggling more to the receptive side is when I feel the best. It honestly feels so great to not
Really.
be the decision maker, to not, of course, I have influence, and we just booked a trip to Iceland and we're, planning our trips
So
together.
exciting.
But it's so great to lean into my husband. But that's taken a lot of work. Does not come natural. So yeah, that's where I'm at. It's an evolution, it's a process. And there's quite a lot of personal anecdotes that I could share and go into. But yeah, without me rambling, that's it. I'm finding the sweet spot, finding the gray areas.
Yeah, I love this. Like finding the like sacred in between. We were talking about this before, how many of us have just been on like this pendulum swing of like, yeah, hyper independent. I can do everything on my own. I don't need a man. And I can so relate, Jess, because yeah, the language from my own mother too was, yeah, don't rely on a man, make sure you can make your own money, or it was marry rich. So it's almost like, again, the extremes in that is like, don't rely on anyone, or find a man who's really rich and who can take care of you. So it was like this very confusing narrative in my system that really didn't invite me to deepen into the holiness of my own body and womanhood to really create discernment and agency in the process of courtship and dating and what it got to mean to be in partnership. So yeah, just so interesting. You brought up a lot for me in that. And I think a lot of us listening come from that background, right? Where we've been programmed to be very hyper independent, take care of yourself, make sure you can do it on your own, don't depend on anyone, because most of our mothers, were heavily influenced by the third wave of feminism. And there's amazing things about that movement. And there has been very detrimental things, to feminism and those paradigms. And I think in our generation, it's just so interesting because I feel we are kind of like the calibration back to what we could call, yeah, this sweet spot, the narrow way, this like nuanced place between, yeah, not being a 1950s housewife, just fully submission, submitting, no power, no authority. And then also not that hyper independent, like I do it all on my own, just hardworking boss babe, bad bitch kind of energy. It's like, okay, what is in between all of that? And where can I find my truth in the middle of that, and what that gets to mean as a woman and in my womanhood? And yeah, I'm curious, Jess, because I am a woman, I will say. I always wanted marriage. I just, yeah, just hadn't, I guess, found the quote unquote one. I don't really believe there's a one, but my body hadn't really stabilized like into the holy yes with marriage until I met my now husband. So I would kind of go between avoidant to anxious attached in relationships and just swing on that pendulum. But I'm curious for you, yeah, what were some of the openings of like, because I think you maybe didn't know if you wanted marriage. I don't know if that, yeah, I don't think you did. You were kind of like, I don't know, right? So I'm just so curious that
Oh,
path
this is
and
good.
journey of like opening to marriage and opening to the possibility of
Totally.
marriage. Yeah, I love hearing women's stories on this.
This is so good. And it's, again, it's so interesting because I've just been going through all my journals, and I know I've wrote this down in one of my journals. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I probably will today now that we're talking about it. But yeah, I was really happy in this, boss babe time of my life. I'm thinking back now, it's probably, I guess, early 30s, early mid 30s, which is great. I mean, that's part of growing up. Like, I think we need that little pendulum swing to show us what we do and what we don't want. So I'm so glad that I did that. But yeah, I was in this place in my life. I live in Florida, and I had in the past, like maybe over a decade ago, I lived in California, and I was a traveling physical therapist assistant. That's our other connection, as we're both former therapists in the healthcare world. And I really missed it, and I wanted to go back, and I craved the adventure. And I honestly, though, I was craving a partner, and a lot of people that I saw out there, I thought looked cool, like this. Back when it was the hipsters were still a cool thing, I was like, ooh, I'll find a guy who wears a beanie and a man bun. I don't know. I had this like ideal that that would happen. And I was wanting to go back to the Pacific Northwest. So it's like really gung-ho to like make this plan happen. I quit my job. I applied for licensure in Seattle, which I got, which was really challenging at the time. And I just couldn't find a placement. It was really challenging. If anyone's listening who's like a travel nurse, like, it's like a crapshoot. And then in the meantime, though, I was still teaching yoga at one of the local studios here, and Ryan came in. And Ryan's my husband. And I was like, oh my God, who is this hot guy? And it was just in this moment where I was like, no, damn it. Like, he's not part of the plan. Like, you're supposed to meet him out in Seattle. And it was really like this inner struggle of wanting to explore something with this person who I found really alluring, but also in this masculine zone of like, I have a plan. I'm gonna stick to this plan. I'm gonna do this thing. It's gonna turn out this way. And that whole saying of like, when man plans, God laughs. It was exactly that,
Totally.
because my any assignment that I was trying to get in Seattle fell through. Ryan and I was one who ended up asking him on a date after a yoga class, and I told him straight up, like, just so you know, I'm moving in 3 months. This isn't gonna go anywhere, but we can just have fun while it lasts. And wouldn't you know it, like, I couldn't get an assignment out west, and everything in Florida, though, was aligning for me to stay. Like, the studio that I was just subbing at wanted me to come on full time. The PT job that I was just temporary with, it wanted me full time with benefits. And Ryan was like, you can just move in with me. And I'm like, oh, this is happening really easily. Like, shouldn't it be harder? This like inner struggle. And I just was having such a hard time surrendering and softening. But once I did, things just started to open up a little bit, but there was still that challenge within me. So here's the kicker, back to like what made me decide. Ryan challenged me. And it was the first time where I had a man that was so in his masculine presence, but it wasn't that wounded masculine where I felt like he was trying to dominate me or control me. He was just really standing his ground. And it was like, because I'm in this feminine, like, well, I don't know what to do. I could be over here. I could be over there. I had zero structure. And he gave me that backbone, and I felt so a little rattled. It was like someone just like, when someone's like having a nervous breakdown, they in the movies they snap out of it, and he just like did that, metaphorically speaking. Of course, he didn't hit me. That'd be a different story. But he just sat me down. He's like, Jess, he's like, I'm never going to tell you what to do, but you're kind of in between these two places. You seem to not know what you want to do. I'm just going to tell you it at this time. If you don't decide, like, we're going to go our separate ways. And he kind of gave me a deadline, not an ultimatum, but he gave me a date. He's like, by this date, this is what you're going to decide. And I was like, oh, okay. And in that moment, I was like, shoot, I think I want to stay. And of course, it wasn't all, rainbows after that. Like, I still had some things to work through, but it was that moment where I had, Ryan really showing up in this strong masculine energy that I could truly soften into my feminine. And it was wild, even like thinking back on it now, like, I'm like, what? That's what was happening. I couldn't look at it like that then. But now it's like, gosh, I needed that. I didn't know it's what I needed. So after that, I really could lean into that. And there's, of course, like I said, ups and downs, but that was the moment. Was just, I had that strong, steady, embodied masculine support, which Ryan's continued to do throughout the years we've been together, 6 years now, 2 years married. And it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta love that sort of masculine clarity.
Which is really hard, again, for this independent, self-proclaimed independent woman to be quote unquote told. I was like, oh, But
Oh,
I
for
think I
sure.
needed that, but what? You know,
Oh,
instantly, like I
yeah.
want to buck that. But you know, for the woman listening, I think that's a relatable thing. It's like, oh wait, I heard this from my girlfriends all the time. Like, will someone just tell me what to do? Like, you know, even friend to friend, not like I need a man to tell me, but sometimes like just tell me what to do. I need someone to tell me. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do that. And this goes back to a lot of what you teach with your women with God, you know, and leaning into that provision of just like, just, you know, send it out. Like, I don't know what to do. You tell me. And it's gosh, what a relief.
Totally. Well, and I love too, just like even, what was happening in your reality of like trying so hard, like grasping and gripping to this vision and this dream and what you thought was supposed to be, and quite literally getting met with resistance and like, no, and it's not working. And then, that other reality that, you had no idea was really going to open. All of those things just like seamlessly happened, and you were so supported, and it was so easeful, as you said, as you did just finally soften and surrender into, okay, maybe I don't need to grip so hard to this thing that I thought I wanted. Maybe exactly what I wanted is right in front of me, and I just get to really yield to the possibility of it happening here and in this way. And I feel like that's such a huge thing for women. And I am calling myself out. This is how I was through the majority of my 20s and early 30s, was just like, it has to be this way. And I have to go here. And it has to work out like this. And the man has to be like this. And it's got to come in this way. Like, just like tight fisting, right? Like, my control around everything. And then, I went through my holy humbling in my early 30s. And actually, it started when I began dating in my late 20s a very masculine man who was, very strong in that presence, also with some wounding for sure. We had definitely a toxic relationship, but it was the first time that I was essentially met with correction and adjustment by a man, like in truly a loving way. But at the time, I could not receive it. And I totally rebelled against it because my energy was just, I mean, holding up a wall around that. I could not soften into it. Now it's so funny with Will, my husband. I'm like, please, tell me where we're going, what we're doing, what the plan is, all of the things. And he's really allowed me to loosen my grip on control and really trust, first God as like the highest plan and provider, and also, my husband and what he sees, through his sight. Because that is provision. It's really trusting that God and the masculine can see beyond what you currently see in so many ways. And it's really up to us to receive, what God and life is offering us, moment to moment. We have a choice. Am I going to resist it, or am I going to open to this and allow myself to essentially, be obliterated by whatever is coming at me in the best way, in the most beautiful way, because it is for my highest destiny if I'm able to really open. So, oh, this is so big for women. This is like a huge recalibration in the system.
Totally. And when I think about it, like, I did really call in someone like Ryan. I really want, I look again back to my journals. I know, back to like the list of what we wanted. I did write this down. I really, meditated and manifested or prayed on it, if you will, of this man who was, is pretty much who Ryan is. And the more that I allow him to be that, and going back to some of this muse, we'll get to like the muse and mother conversation. Like, the more I just keep letting him just take his time and evolve, like he's just doing it. And when he does, like he just continues to surprise me. And for me, it's been a challenge with marriage of like merging finances, because that's a big insecurity. And I'm sure that's a conversation we
Totally.
can get into here, like with the money mindset and femininity and the masculine. And Ryan is, he's the quote unquote breadwinner. He's a realtor. He does really well. He just sold a $3.5 million home and got like a
Go Ryan.
$60,000 commission. It's
Yes.
like, he makes more in like a couple months than most people do in a year. So, it's triggering for me because he spoils me. And part of me is like, back to that feminine of like, I don't need a handout. Like I can take care of myself. Like I'm fine on my, 2,000 to 5,000 to 0,000 fluctuating
Yeah,
income. Like
fluctuating income.
I'm fine. And when I stopped doing that, because he's really like, babe, like it's not you and me, it's hours. And I've been the one who's been more resistant to that. And he's just so like let me just take care of you. Like, he won't say those words specifically, but in a roundabout way. And it's I'm the one who has to get out of my own way. And when I do, like it's so easy. And like, why am I doing this? Like, I know why, like, because all the years of generational
Totally.
and ancestral trauma
Yes, right.
and programming. But like, it's really sweet to soften into that. But I will say, going back to earlier what we talked about, one of the reasons Ryan loves me is because of my moxie, if you will. Like, I just have a strong personality. He'll proudly tell you I'm half Puerto Rican and half Italian, raised by New Yorkers. That is not going anywhere
Yeah,
anytime soon.
totally.
So I think it's important to say, like, yes, I'm softening into where I can in my feminine energetically, but my personality is the same. Like, we're not changing this.
Yes,
There's some
exactly.
softening around the edges, of course, but as I get into my 40s, like, I am very comfortable with who I am. I'm very comfortable with setting energetic boundaries, but in a way that is serving me and my husband first and foremost, and creating that energetic container of safety for us. So, I don't know where I was going with that, but it just made me like think about like this bigger picture of leaning into the masculine while not getting
Yes.
like absorbed. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. And this is really good. Yeah, leaning into the masculine without getting absorbed. Because yeah, I feel like, it can be so easy for women to just become absorbed in the partnership, get lost in the partnership, get lost in the man. And then there is, this creation of codependence essentially, which, can become very unhealthy, as we know. And yeah, and I've kind of swung, I guess, both ways. I've definitely been more hyper independent and like separating my energy from the partner because I was so afraid of getting enmeshed in that way and like so turned off by if there was going to be a dependence. And now I'm finding too, like, yeah, where there's this very healthy interdependence of energies within the relationship. It's like you're still maintaining your individual personhood, like the distinction of who you are, and you're now in a circuitry with another heart, and your two hearts together are fueling love on a deeper level, essentially, and like pouring that into each other and being held first in God and receiving that great love and then overflowing it into the union and then ultimately upon the earth to make all those around you, better by the love that you both share. But it's, yeah, and it's so fascinating too in my marriage with Will, because, and I think you know this, Jess, when I first met Will, I was like riding high on my business and I was like, I'm doing so good. I'm making six figures. I'm having these five figure months. Like, I had so much of my identity in like my worth and my value attached to like how much money I was making and how many clients I had and all of that. And then, yeah, it was so funny when I met Will. He could literally have cared less about any of that. He just wanted to like feel connected to the emanation of my beingness and my radiance and just like the love that poured from my heart as a woman. And my business started to crumble when I met him. Like, a lot of things began to dissolve, and I see it now as God's way of really having me soften into the provision of the masculine and like receive the masculine in a way that I had never allowed myself to do before. It was almost like, oh, these other things had to be released so that you could actually receive this man that I gifted you and really like let yourself be held and receive, provision not only financially, but in all of these ways. Provision is multidimensional. And when we moved in together and, we always knew we were going to get married and engaged, yeah, Will took on most of our bills. For the first time, I wasn't paying rent or paying for my car, paying for car insurance. And it was wild to me because I was so used to like, I pay all my stuff. And I've done that since I was like 18 years old. So it was like, it was this real transition in my system to feel like I could accept that and that I was worthy of that, and trusting Will that he wanted to provide that, right? Like, a strong masculine man like truly does want you to provide, or they want to provide. Like, men truly just want women to be happy. Like
And
they
then it's
just,
not transactional,
yeah,
right?
exactly. It's
Because
not
that's, I think, the messaging
transactional.
too. Like, oh, if you take me
Yes.
out to dinner, now I have to sleep with you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that starts to
Oh,
come into the marriage,
yes.
right?
Totally, totally. Oh my gosh, we could talk all about that because we're so used, and that's how I was in the past. You know, if a man does something nice to me, then I owe him something. So it was very transactional, and really all of that got transformed through my relationship with God and just recognizing like goodness is a gift that you simply get to receive. Love is a gift you get to receive. You don't need to give anything, you know, back. This is just your innate inheritance to rest in love and beauty and goodness and provision in this way. And to realize as a woman, you already do give so much just through your essence and your luminosity and your eros and your beingness and the natural, like creational energy that you bring into the relationship. And yeah, that was huge for me because I just had never been in a relationship where there actually was like this devotional circuitry happening in such a beautiful, organic, fluid way. And to feel like, yeah, I get to be provided for in this way. And I get to trust that, yeah, I'm worthy of that. And I'm still giving back to the relationship in my own unique way without thinking, oh, okay, now I need to make sure I do this or da da da. And truly too, it's you were saying something earlier too, Jess, that like reminded me. You know, you're saying like I just let Ryan be himself, and I'm like, yes, this is one of the codes. It's like the more we can just receive and appreciate and be present with our men, like the more they really do unfold into their greatness. It's like, can I just let him be him and fully receive him in my heart? Because he will continue to rise as I accept him for who he is in this moment.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like that goes back to, like, what we're talking about, like the muse energy, and how do we influence without controlling. And that's, I
Yeah.
wrote down here, like, when I'm, and we've talked about this before, human design, if anyone's familiar, I'm a generator, a 6-2, and so my line is the role model, one of them
Same, I
anyways.
have
And
that one
so,
too. Yeah.
yeah, and so I
Yeah.
lead by example. And so for me, a big thing, actually, funny enough, a big thing for us, and earlier on in our relationship and our marriage, was I didn't feel like he was, quote unquote, spiritual enough. And like, we did yoga together, and that
Oh,
was
totally.
fine,
Yeah.
and I feel like I was like, this is okay, but I don't want to just play house. Like, I want to grow with you, especially. And I've been very open with this, but those of you who are listening, we've made the conscious choice to not have children. And Ryan actually just had a vasectomy not that long ago. And so, it's like, if we're not having children and like having a different like tier or layer to our marriage, like where you're living for your kids and there's a whole other thing, like, I don't know, not that like you and I can't be enough, but I want more. I want another pillar. And like, I feel like
Yeah.
family is one of those pillars, and religion and spirituality is another pillar. And like, we were missing that. And I felt like I was starting to get a little bit like pushy because I was wanting it to happen on my timeline.
Yeah.
And he was finally like, it's just, he's like, I'm not ever going to be as like spiritual as you. I was like, I'm not asking you to do that. Maybe I am, but I want you to want it. Just like, when you're asking someone for help, like, I want you to want to
Yes.
help me. It's like, I want you to want it. And so I
Yeah.
just started to pull back a little bit. And I was giving him different, like, hey, like, maybe let's go to like this. There's a meditation center here. Like, maybe let's go here. 'Cause he had a real, as many do, I think people, even the woman listening, like, had a very, averse, reaction and connotation to church. And even that
Yeah,
word sometimes
totally.
still doesn't land with me, right? 'Cause there's just so much, hypocrisy and, things just don't line up. So we've finally found a place that, funny enough, we met our pastor at like a bourbon tasting event. He's got tattoos, and he's all dressed really cool. And they started connecting over Texas. They were from Texas, and so he just needed that connection, that like masculine to masculine connection. And once he's like, "Oh, you're cool, and you're a pastor, huh?" Like, it never, like, the
Yeah.
connection couldn't happen. And once it did, then he was like, "Yeah, let's go." And actually, he just brought it up yesterday. He's like, "You know what, babe? I think I want to go to church this weekend." I was like, "Okay." And he got a Bible before me, and now he's, leading in that way. And like, when, and I shared with you, like, hey, Nina, what kind of Bible can I get? And I got a Bible, not because Ryan did, but it just felt like I didn't want to make it more of a, pressured thing. But now, like, in first leading by example, now he's taken the lead. which is
Yes.
pretty cool.
Yeah, by giving him room to breathe and
Yeah.
just have that space. I know because, yeah, and I can so relate. So relate. I'm just like sitting here, like, oh, Jess, so many common threads. Cause, yeah, too, when I met Will, I was like, oh, he's gonna be spiritual enough? Is he into God enough? Is it blah, 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 blah? And I think as women, and this is just like what I've noticed, and I don't think this is always true, but I think for the majority of women, like we just naturally are far more devotional and like carry, yeah, like a deep essence of spirituality and faith in our system. Like faith, quite literally in Hebrew, translates to deeds of the mother. Like I think it comes from this very like deep root wellspring in ourselves that are just naturally more postured and inclined to, you know, wanting to dive into the marrow of the mystery and like really sit in the depths of spirituality and these questions and inquiries and to feel and sense all that in our bodies. And yeah, I've noticed in our marriage too, because Will actually did grow up with God, but like in a very distant way, like not relation base, you know, would just go to church because he could play sports. Like it wasn't this like burning fire for God or Jesus in any way at all. But I realized in our relationship, he was teaching me all of these other things. Like Will is very connected to nature and the earth and hunting and hiking. And his big thing is backpacking and just being out in the middle of the wilderness. And we would take these trips. And I realized, oh, this is his spiritual playground. This is how he experiences God. And I get to respect that. And by me, you know, following him up the mountain, quite literally, I get to see how he's being fueled by that in his own life, and I get to be a part of that. And then my devotion, you know, pours in a different way. And just from me being who I am, you know, his own connection with God has deepened through our relationship, not from me forcing it, but just through the emanation of my beingness and who I am as a woman and what I share in our space together. And it's just, yeah, coming from this like not controlling place, because when we're in that place, like, okay, you need to be this way, or I need to change you to be more like this. Again, we're in that, yeah, just very shadow frequency. And to me, when we're in that mothering frequency, it's just because we feel unsafe and we're trying to control the situation or change them to fit more to our agenda to stabilize this illusionary safety, because safety only comes from within and is rooted from within you. It can't be cultivated from what's outside of you, but it's like that kind of protective response that we try to do to get something instead of just, again, meeting and seeing our men where they are and really appreciating and expecting that and giving them space to evolve into
Totally.
who they're becoming.
Totally. And what I wanted to say with that, and that was just so beautiful, but what I was also reflecting on with this, you know, the muse part of it and allowing, you know, a lot of the toxicity that we see in relationship, especially when it's coming to, and I think of myself with the sensuality piece, is when men aren't given the space to see their own beauty. And
Totally.
Tammy Kent talks about this a lot in her book, Wild
I love
Feminine,
her,
which is
yeah.
like my Bible.
Yeah,
And she
so
talks about this a lot. Like, you know, men see a woman as something to own and dominate when they haven't seen their own be beauty or have been taught to see their own beauty and their own wildness and their own curiosity and creativity. So I think that's where, you know, we've been so lucky with our men, because Will has that with his nature, Ryan has it with his, you know, now he's into like this photography and videography. And even before then, he, you know, I feel like his workouts were kind of his
yes.
creative outlet in teaching yoga. And I just feel like for me, like thankfully I have a partner, a husband like that, because I am so creative, and where my creativity gets expressed is in dance. And so the women who don't know, I pole dance quite a bit, and I find so much freedom in that, and I find so much connection in that. Especially I've, you know, been I've been sexually assaulted multiple times, and to reclaim that sexuality and sensuality, I've found pole and erotic dance to be such a healing outlet,
Yeah.
and to be with a husband who celebrates that. Like he'll reshare them, like, look at my wife, she's so beautiful, and he'll watch my reels over and over, he'll comment on
So
them,
cute.
and it's so supportive. And not that I need that, but it's you know, if he didn't, you know, we'd have problems like that, you know, there'd be a big issue with that. But You know, it, what I'm, my point is like, you know, I dance also. We go to music festivals quite a bit. And, you know, with my female friends who some are coupled, some are not, but we'll, you know, we'll at festivals, you know, we're have like, you know, very scantily clad, just like the typical festival wear. And I'll sometimes be topless. We went to Burning Man a couple of years ago. But because I don't want to say allow, but because I'm softening into my femininity, he's able to hold his masculinity, but without that rigidity, right? There's an ebb and a flow. And what I feel every time I'm with, and his all of his good close guy friends are the same, it's almost like this energetic ring of provision and protection of the masculine. And all the feminine, I just get this vision of like fairy goddesses dancing around a fire, just being their most sensual selves, but they get to receive that as well. And they hold the space and we fill the space. And it's this, like you said, this back and forth. Not, I can't think of the word right now, but this, you know, mutual symbiotic fueling of one another. And I feel that so deeply with Ryan as I fuel his creativity and his passion, he fuels mine and it just expands and balloons like this big atom. So, you know, I just wanted to say that, like, you know, the more I, it's just, it's so one and the other. The more I'm myself, the more he's himself, the more he's himself, the more I'm myself. And it's just really, it's just so beautiful to witness, but especially in that realm where you might think like, oh, I better cover up or, you know, I don't want to make him uncomfortable. It's quite the opposite. When I'm more free, like he's more free and there's a safety in it. And anytime we're, and of course, like a big festival, like, you know, there's other guys around, there's other people around, but we've never, ever, ever had an issue because there's just that space of like heldness and protection, and it's so
Yes,
amazing.
totally. And what I feel as you've expressed that, it's like I feel underneath that there is just like that mutual just commitment and choosing of one another, like so much respect and like that again, just like devotional choosing, which sets the sanctity of the container, right? It's like we are not, leaking our energy outside of this. It's like we are choosing each other and we respect each other and we're here to grow and evolve with one another. And now our individual expression just gets to amplify and expand the other partner, you know, in this really beautiful way. And I think too, you know, this is like unique in any relationship. Like, to be quite honest, I'm not sure if Will would be okay if I was scantily clad, you know, out in the, you know, abyss over here, even if he was with me. Will is a Scorpio. He is very like, you know, has that like really just fierce, like not jealousy, but just I don't even know how to describe this because it's actually an energy that I really do appreciate of him. And it kind of does correct and adjust me in some ways of just really tuning in with like my own deeper why on things. And it's been really holy and beautiful. And I think again, that essence and expression is so unique, relationship to relationship. It's really like you are setting, your tone with each other. And like again, those like holy, beautiful commitments and essentially vows, you know, and promises that you've made towards each other and how that gets to be expressed in such a unique way. It's no one way here, one size fits all. It's like partner to partner. That's just so beautiful, but it's having those agreements with each other. And again, having that foundation of respect and cherishing one another ultimately, and that continuous choice. And I feel there is something else about the muse piece. Jess. Oh, and I wanted to go into sensuality too in a second. So, yeah, this just like I think as a woman, oh, this is what I was gonna say, because you were kind of you've been touching on it with how you're expressing in such a beautiful way. You know, something that one of my teachers, Jillian Pothier, always says. She knows, you know, the feminine doesn't lead, but her frequency goes first. Like she sets the tone. And it's like her, and just think, I mean, we are the egg, but like the egg's not just like only hanging out waiting to get penetrated by the sperm. Like the egg is also illuminating this luminosity, this emanation, this magnetism, and her energy, the beacon. And she's setting the tone to what is going on around her. And that is who you are. And I even notice in myself, if something ever feels off, quote unquote, in my marriage relationship with Will, I have been humbled many times to recognize and realize It usually is something in my energy that is creating a bit of a disharmony somewhere, not blaming myself in any way. It's just like I'm always going to reflection, like, huh, if something's a little bit off, what has my tone been? What has been my energetic expression? What frequency am I emitting into the field? Because the masculine is always responding to us. The masculine, this is goes for money, anything that is masculine in its nature, it's always responding to the emanation of the feminine. And I feel like too, that is such a humbling in our own systems to really recognize where we do hold responsibility and power for our energy and our essence and the tone that we're setting into a space to really realize, like, yeah, am I just harping on my man all day, trying to get him to do all the things, and I'm being maybe, giving him a knife instead of giving him life? Or am I, yeah, like accepting him, appreciating him, really pouring beauty and love into the relationship? It's like just really recognizing what are my patterns and are those things filling and fueling the space, or are they depleting and draining the space in some way? And that's again been huge for me because I used to just constantly blame the other person all the time. Oh, it's just something wrong with them. And really learning this piece really turned me in to look at myself more, to really witness, okay, yeah, what energy am I holding? What posture am I holding? How am I speaking? How am I moving in the space? What frequency am I emitting into the fields?
Yeah, and I think that goes back to like the boss babe. Letting go of like the I know it all and I'm
Yeah.
right and you're wrong.
Totally, totally, which I've been there. Yeah.
Oh gosh, and it's such a hard habit to break. I mean, I usually am right, but I try to be better about how I deliver that
Yeah, the
message.
delivery.
But yeah, it's definitely that going back to, and you mentioned this too about how I embody queen energy, and I think when I'm in my queen. And Ryan, his last name is Tuttle, which we talked a little bit about last names, and his nickname is King Tut when he was little. And so,
Oh.
he and then it just got shortened to King. So his
Oh.
family and his friends know him as King. And so I'm his queen. And when I'm in that queen energy, anything that I have that's maybe a, we'd have to have a conversation about something. Like I come to him in my queen energy. I'm not coming to him in my wounded maiden or my overshadowing or overbearing mother or overshadowed huntress, who needs
Yeah.
to like fight. And I do sometimes feel like there's a way of navigating conversations where it's not so nice all the time. We have talked about that, but I think that's the queen too. Like, hey, this is what's going on. We have to talk about this. And be matter of fact about it. I'm like, are you okay? And the meekness and that wounded or the fawning energy, like that's not it
Totally.
either. And I
No.
think that's what we're talking to here about embodying that true feminine essence, which is balanced and poised
Yes.
and graceful and queen-like. So
Yes.
that's and again, king and queen, that's who shares the throne. And that's an embodied relationship when they're both in power and that same, again, that
Yes.
symbiotic connection. And something that again, another note that came up for me when I was really, we were first married, it was maybe like 2 weeks into our marriage, and then still getting used to like the husband thing and letting him take more of the lead. We went out to dinner, and some guy like kind of butted me in line to put his name on the list. I really wasn't even paying attention, which was a rarity for me, but I guess that's what happened. And he was waiting, sitting down, and he waited for me to come back, and he's like kind of ruffled. And I'm like, what's up? He's like, that guy, he's like, when he came up, like kind of butt in front of you, I just felt, I don't know, like I just felt really protective over you. And he's like, and this is like a first for him. He's like, ever since we've been married, like I feel I want to protect you more. And I was like, okay, it was so unexpected and so received that I
Yeah.
was like, wow, I didn't know I needed to hear that, but I
Yeah.
needed to hear that. And it was so lovely. And again, back to this king and queen energy, I felt very strong and I still do. But when I know I can rely on my king, we have like an issue with someone having their dog off leash. And normally I'd be the one to put your dog on a leash, and
Yeah.
he said something, and I let him, and I was like, let me just, I'm not gonna say anything, and he took the lead, and he said something, and sure enough, the neighbor came by the next day and apologized. But It was so nice going back full circle of like this leaning into the provision in so many different
Yes.
ways, and just this the king and queen. That's where I feel balanced.
Totally. Yeah, and the queen in you really does inspire the king in him. And like, I just had a visual of like, yeah, just witnessing the king and queen sitting beside each other, right? That's their position. It's like the king is not like above, it's like beside, like reigning hand in hand with one another, under hopefully the higher power of the divine and God, right? It's like there is, yeah, just so much beauty in that kind of co-creation. And like you said, just because I think that this is an edge, and I mean myself included, I'm literally calling myself out on all these things. In the past, I would have a really hard time with like confrontation or something challenging or like a bigger issue that needed to be discussed. So I would either get like angry and like spill that into the space, or I would overly contain it and I would just shut down and basically run away. Like I was a runner in relationships. If anything got hard, I'm just gonna run. I'll flee. See you later. Bye. Don't need to deal with this problem. I'll move on to the next. Like that was so
Same.
my pattern. Yeah. And it's been so interesting to really recognize through being with Will, how there has been a deepening of my own feminine maturity of how I hold myself, how I communicate, because really, a man is not here to hold your storm, and I think that this is something in more of the polarity space that there's a lot of nuance in this, but as women, we too have a responsibility to hold and circulate and move sensation through our body. It's not to say we can't show ourselves, to our husbands, to our men, to our partners. I'm not saying that by any means, but to just recognize like there is a responsibility with how I'm circulating my energy and how I bring forward my expression so that we can actually co-create something beautiful together instead of just coming with a tantrum or like the fawning of, oh, you just save me and fix me and rescue me or whatever that might be. It's like we have a holy responsibility of women to embody that queen in ourselves, to really first know how to resource ourselves so that then we can clearly step forward speaking our desires and our needs and what we long for in a way that then the masculine can actually co-create with that. My friend Claudia will always say, it's like y your desire and his will, like your desire inspires his will. But if you're bringing forward a desire in a collapse way, tantrum, wounded princess, damsel in distress, the masculine's not going to respond because he's like, what's going on? I don't even know what you're asking me. And it's like bringing it forward in a way that there can actually be like productive conversation, communication, and ultimately a solution. And I think for women too, this is just coming up now into my field is like, I think so often we've been used to, because maybe we saw this in our parental family system. A lot of, at least I did, just mom and dad combating against each other. And it was always like them against each other instead of them against the problem. And something I'm always recognizing and harnessing and Will and I hold is like, yeah, it's never us against each other. It's like us against the problem. And how can we be together as a unit facing the problem, not battling with each other in something.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really mature way to handle
Oh, I mean, no, this is not perfect
it.
by any means. It's like, yeah, this has taken me a lot of time. And I'm not perfect. Like, I remember me and Will had a rupture last year. And I mean, I shut down. I shut down. I was in like a state of collapse, and I think it's only through experience that we learn and grow and evolve. And like, as we know, relationships are the best practice ground. You can't do the work on your own, sitting on your meditation cushion, just in your union with God. It's like, yeah, there is a stabilization that you can cultivate in that, but you're going to get faced and confronted with all the things when you're now, posturing with another heart. It's like, yeah.
Well, and I think, this goes to what we were going to talk about too, with the, I think we have touched on it a little bit, but the sensuality piece, right? So yes, it's great to be on a meditation cushion and a nun or a monk and never having connection with another person, especially intimately. Like that is a whole other level of relationship. And I love, our conversation that we had Which I think you shared with the women in your group about intimacy and God and the sacredness of that. But with the sensuality piece, at least for me, the more I've connected to myself and my body and my pleasure, because we initially early on, there was a lot of desire thing. I had a stronger sense of desire for intimacy and he didn't. And it was really frustrating. It brought a whole lot of insecurities. Like, is it me? Does he not want me? Right. And that's, I know I'm not alone in that. And so we actually saw a sex therapist, which was awesome. And her number one homework was for both of us, but especially me, to do more solo sex practices and self-love practices. I was like, whoa, I thought you were just going to give him a lot of homework, not me. Like going back to your point of like, I'm not wrong. And so that kind of started this chain reaction of, just doing even self like massage, like standing in front of the mirror naked and massaging my breasts and loving touch, not even, touching myself and masturbating, although that's part of it, but it was more of that love and that touch and that kindness. And the more I've been doing that again, back with pole dancing, I have found such another layer of intimacy and sensuality and sacredness with myself. That just like all things, I feel more adept and inclined to share it with others, especially my husband. And that's been so amazing, to feel that next level of celebrating myself and my femininity, but ultimately sharing that with my partner. And he's able to receive in his masculine and his feminine, and that beautiful co-relationship with both dynamics has been really, really awesome to be a witness to.
And I feel like, this is just so important, Jess, because I feel like we were just on a call yesterday in the membership and just like recognizing, where a lot of us too have been entrained to just like outsource our sensuality and sexuality to men and like didn't cultivate like a sacred pleasure practice, self-love practice with ourselves. Like that was my story too. I just outsourced that energy to men. I never really had that sacred practice for myself. And I realized, after many years, again, how detrimental that was and where I needed to really turn into myself and create a holiness, in my own body and how I was meeting myself in the mirror and holding myself and my sensuality is so sacred because I noticed too, the more I tune in and tap in and take care of that energy in myself, the more like beautifully expansive sensual and sexual experiences I get to have with my husband. It like again feeds into that because I'm already cultivating that turn on with me, that pleasure inside of myself and awakening that current of Eros in my own system. And then, our men, because they are very perceptive and men feel like they feel us, my partner like can tell when I've been in that energy and then that opens him and then we get to have a deeper expression with one another, but it's not from a place of need or validation or transaction anyway. It's just like right the overflow of the energy that has already been cultivated, from within my own womb and my heart and then just like an offering of the overflow of that gift. And yeah, I think for a lot of us as women, I mean, this is like a huge topic. We'll probably have like a part two podcast on just sensuality. But I just love even, what you got to speak to there too, of like just starting with, touching, massaging, looking at yourself in the mirror, like holding yourself as holy. And yeah, I'd love to hear anything else on sensuality, Jess, that you feel called to share.
I would, yeah, absolutely. One of the things, 'cause I just did a recording for my program, my module for women is, self-touch in so many different ways. And trusting and knowing that some women have their own history with abuse and sometimes
Totally.
even touching them themselves can be triggering. So going over the clothing first and just simply sitting, like taking the cup palm of your hand, first, touching your thighs and pressing and asking for permission too for yourself. I think that's a big thing for women who've experienced assault. I had a client the other day and I asked her because she's reflecting on what was taken, and I was like, it's agency and innocence. And she's like,
Yeah.
that's exactly the two words that I was talking to my therapist the other day, agency and innocence. So agency first, like, asking yourself or giving yourself a blessing, like, may I bless my touch, may I bless my legs, may I bless, as I hold my body here in this container, I bless the vessel of divine expression and thank you for holding me and
Yes.
just giving yourself touch and love and blessings. And then taking one hand and in a seated position, just like a cup, like you're holding a cup of water sitting on your vulva. So the heel of your hand is by your pubic bone, your fingertips are towards your coccyx. And this is such a great way to feel your anatomy, but also to feel your breath. So for a lot of women, there's a difficulty to descend the breath down into your pelvic bowl. So we can do this practice together. If you're
Yeah.
not driving, close your eyes. You can practice along with your hand on your vulva or anywhere that's comfortable and accessible, maybe even your low belly. Take a breath in and descend your breath down wide and full. And you might even be able to feel that if your hand is cupped underneath your pubic bone. And when you exhale, lift a little bit, like you're trying to lift your pubic bone off of your hand. And you might feel a little lift of your clothing. And then inhale, descend your weight and your breath down again into your hand. And I can feel that little bit of a drop down. And you might be able to as well. And when you exhale, do a little bit of a lift. Those of you might know what a Kegel or Kegel is, lifting up and in, pull up and towards yourself. And do that one more time. Inhale, descend, drop your awareness, your breath down wide and full. And exhale, find a gentle lift, a hold, an engagement. And then relax again. So there's a release in your tone and release your hand. Bring one hand to the center of your heart and one hand to the center of your womb, just above your pubic bone and below your navel. Give blessing. Give love here for your beautiful body, your sacred vessel, that you get to explore intimacy and connection with yourself and the partner of your choosing. And thank you for this gift. You can rub onto your chest, your breast, your hands, your head. Just wake yourself up if that drifted you off anywhere. Yeah, and that's
Yeah.
it. That's something super. And even as I was doing it with you,
Love
like I
it.
feel, feel just
So great.
down-regulated, right? And the part of it's just from the
Yes.
slow breathing, right? How that just instantly taps us into that rest and digest. So just slow breathing, but with that hand held again, you might just have hands on belly, hands on heart. But if you're comfortable, getting yourself down and then eventually graduating that into actually palpating, feeling your pelvic bowl, like placing one finger inside your vaginal canal. And for no other reason but just to feel your breath and to really feel, can I get my breath even in there? I don't know. Can I? And just letting that be exploratory, letting it be fun and playful and curious and with no goal, right? Like letting go of that, the masculine end goal. Like there's no point A to point B. It's all like A, B, C, D,
Right.
E, F, G, all over the place. Like just let it be fun and playful and sense. And that's what sensuality is. It's just to sense. It's just sensing, just feeling and
Yes.
breathing and being. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we got to incorporate a practice into this because I feel like too. Yeah, like women forget how simple this gets to be. And I love because I feel like you always go here first, Jess, is just like building the intimacy with the breath and really like really honoring the breath as essentially our first sensual experience that we have is just being attuned to how the breath is moving and descending and expanding and lifting and just cultivating that intimacy with, this beautiful, sacred part of our body, and I constantly am doing that practice that you just that you just shared. Like I do that throughout my day just to give my body permission to be present, to drop the awareness of my breath down, like quite literally descend it into the womb, into the vulva, into the yoni, like to really feel that part of my body, because we so often are just like so up here, like neck up, just living in, yeah, this very like mind-based space. And I feel, yeah, it just gets to be this simple. Like you get to start here and you just, and I love to, Jess and I both are really sensitive to trauma and women's past experiences. And it's like you just get to ask your body for permission. Is it okay, right? If I bring my hand here, touch myself here, and can I just start, like Jess said, over the clothes and just cultivate that safety and presence with yourself so that you get to receive you. Because before anyone else gets to receive you, you get to receive yourself. And I feel like, yeah, that's just such a huge piece of sensuality is learning how to receive ourselves more fully.
Yeah, absolutely. And the breath work, yeah, it's something that's sort of, I mean, always a part of it, but recently rediscovering it, and there's so many layers and levels to the breath. And one of my teachers that I just did a workshop with this past weekend, she was saying, if you're just breathing, like, that's fine. It doesn't have to be anything more. It doesn't have to connect you to your sensuality. It doesn't have to be this big, like, esoteric, like, epiphany that you have. Like, it's fine, just breathe. And just in breathing, you're connecting yourself to presence. And back full circle, when you're in your presence and you're in your body, you're able to witness your partner and your husband the way that they need and want to be witnessed, when you can witness yourself. And that's something that's been really big for me. And I notice when I'm not that way, I've deviated from the path, and I need to get
Totally.
back to my practice. I can always tell, like,
Yep, same.
I'm feeling a little snippy. It's also, luteal phase time, but I haven't done anything
Yep.
for myself lately. Let's fix that.
Totally. Yeah, it's right back to this part around resourcing. It's like, how have I been taking care of myself today? Did I eat nourishing food? Am I hydrated? Did I take a walk? Did I get the sun on my face? Did I breathe? Did I, give my heart, my hand and just present some space there? It's like it's like these very simple things make such a world of difference in then how we walk in the world and how we relate to others. And I feel like it's just bringing it back to such sweet simplicity is truly so medicinal. This is where we get to begin. And yeah, it doesn't have to be this like huge, blissful, ecstatic, orgasmic experience every time. It's like it can be presence, 3D breaths, putting your hand over your heart, cupping your yoni, like just really being present and giving yourself the opportunity for that.
Side note, I will say, though, the more present you are, the more wild your orgasm will be.
Yes. And that is true. That is so true.
There's a great book, those of you who don't know it, Come As You Are, just finally finished it, by Dr. Emily Nagoski, and just talking about, like, some, what was it called? I think she actually called it therapeutic masturbation. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, what great positive languaging around this term that can be so, like, full of connotations that
Oh,
we've talked about
totally.
before. But just, like,
Yeah.
yeah, just, like, breathe into your space, and it doesn't have to be wildly orgasmic, but it could be, and
Right,
that's not
totally.
bad.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, it's letting yourself, yeah, meet yourself where you are and like really being in that slow motion space, as Jess and I teach, that's where healing happens. It doesn't have to be this like quick, fast, figure it all out. It's like, give yourself room to breathe, to have space, to go slower, to really meet again where you are and to have acceptance to where you are and to let that be an opening. So, yeah, so good, Jess. So good. I always love all the sensuality pieces because I feel, again, this is a huge part of our feminine reclamation. It's not, again, to suppress this part of ourselves. This is a part of ourselves we get to hold as holy. God gave us these beautiful bodies that are quite literally temples for the Holy Spirit, and we get to be in intimacy with our bodies. We're not meant to bypass the body, and as I've said multiple times here, ultimate remembrance and truth is resurrected from the body. And to me, it's just so interesting too. We were talking about this yesterday, how when women do come into their sensuality, like more and more, they actually feel God's presence, and their faith does deepen. Because they're now in this state of receiving, of softening, of surrendering, of opening, of just being with what is more fully, and giving themselves, a moment to not try to analyze and intellectualize and control everything, but to just be in the present awareness, because that is where God resides. It's literally in the present, right now, here in your heart, and you just have to go within to feel that.
I love that. So beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love all of your wisdom on this. And yeah, I'm just curious, Jess, anything? I feel like we just went to a lot of realms in this conversation. It's going to be so nourishing for
Oh,
our communities, but is anything else feel alive or that you
Yeah,
think
the
you want
only
to
other
speak
thing I'll
to?
say is, yeah, I want to share because when we're talking about, like the huntress, and I know that you have other conversations with the archetypes, and that huntress energy is just like what I think of, when I've been in survival mode, when I just had to. And I told Ryan this, and I shared a story with you that I want to speak to it
Oh,
without going into all the
yes.
details. But I had, so we live next to an apartment building, and this car was playing their music super loud, like 4 in the morning, and I was just like rattled, not thinking clearly. Actually, I was, but I just didn't care. And so I was like so rattled, it was so loud, 4 in the morning. And so I was like, Ryan's dead to the world. He didn't hear a thing. I'm like opening the door, like, do I go out? Do I not go out? I'm like, I could see the car. It's like right there. I was like, I'm just going out. So I walk outside and I knock on the guy's window, and they're obviously intoxicated on drugs. Like you just tell. And their music was so loud, and he like shot up out of his seat. And he's like, oh. And I was like, can you please turn your music down? And he did. And as I'm walking back in, I thought to look to the license plate just in case. And he saw me doing that. He kind of got halfway out of his car, like, what are you doing? And like being a little confrontational. But my reaction was like, I am want to look at your license plate because XYZ, XYZ. And it was just a little bit of a back and forth at like 4 in the morning. And I went inside. And then after I closed the door, I was like, maybe I should call the cops now. And so there was this moment though where like I just reacted and I told Ryan about it. Of course, he's up at this point, and his thing was like, why didn't you come and get me? I was like, well, because I can take care of it myself. And I went back to this old pattern of like, I have to figure stuff out for me. He's like, but you have me now. And it just didn't connect. And he like literally had to say that, like, you have me now. And I was like, oh yeah. And but it's like goes back to this programming where I, apart from the sexual abuse, I was physically abused. I had a partner that pushed me and shoved me so far to the ground that I like hit my head on the door, and we had like a whole like knockdown drag out fight. I've been stalked to my apartment. I've been, followed on a train. Just the other day I had a guy following me in the park, and I have to, as women, we're constantly on alert. I was like, baby, you have to understand, like, I know that you're here to protect me. But as a woman, like I have to be watching out for myself all the time. He's like, I love that about you. He's like, but there's a difference of also like where you're acting on it. I was like, okay, I can meet you there. But that's what I wanted to say is like, we've been so programmed for survival mode, and that's where the huntress comes in because that's
Totally.
her job. Her job is to protect. So I don't mean to say huntress and like in a negative connotation, or like you always need to be relying on your man and always rely on his protection. Like take care, like be aware of your surroundings,
Yes,
but there's also a time and a
exactly.
place to act on it. And I think that's what the shift was for me, was I had the choice to go outside, and I chose, maybe in retrospect, not the wisest choice, but I was so, it's just been ingrained in me for so many years to act and to protect myself. And now I
Totally.
have this husband who's asking to protect me. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's still kind of new. So just re leaning into that
Yes.
protection in so many ways. And in that moment, it was like a literal protection, like
Yeah.
literally. So that's what I wanted to speak to on that. Like, that's been a
Totally.
learning curve, and I know like a lot of women can relate to
Yes.
that.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 'Cause, yeah, it's like we can't just float around, totally lacking, awareness to what is around us. That's how we get into dangerous situations as women. And that's really having like that strong masculine frame. Like for me, it feels like, yeah, the backbone of God, like that inner father presence who is vigilant, like just not in a hyper vigilant way, but just again, mindful, aware, attuned, like
Boundaried. I feel like
boundaried, right? Yes, can tell if an environment or a man is, or any person is safe or not safe, and then how to hold my energy right in those situations. That's not something that we're designed to not have as women, right? Because if we don't, then yeah, we can get into again very dangerous situations in our lives. And then it's just, I love what Ryan said. It's just like, yeah, and then just really witnessing how I act upon things, and where could I ask for help or support, or just, yeah, assess the situation so that I am most supported, in the highest way through things. So yeah, really, I love that we brought that in. That was so powerful, Jess. Oh, yeah, it's just going to be really supportive because we brought in a lot of the nuances into this conversation. And Jess, I would love for you to share too. Just where the women inside of this community and beyond can find you, connect with you, what you have opening, and just coming up in your space and all the things.
Thank you. Yeah, so I've been evolving, like I said, in my personal and my professional life into just really owning the sensuality, sensual healing, if you will, part of my work. It's been a work, an evolution and progress that Nina, you've helped me over the years. And so that's what's coming up now is a 3-month intimate group container for women called Sensual and Sovereign, a container for women to celebrate their sacred sensuality and activate the sovereignty and that queen energy. When I hear this word sovereign, I think of queen, right? So learning some, like we did today, like the pelvic bowl, like being in your pelvis, like what does it mean? What's your pelvic floor? And some, sacred sensuality practices. I have a lot of conversations. You're a part of one of those conversations. And that's launching. I'm going to make an announcement this spring, so in a week or two, and that'll be running May of 24 through, 3 months ish. And then I'll probably relaunch it and run it again. So if you're listening to this later, it'll happen, I'm sure, another time. And in the meantime, or during or after that, you can follow me on Instagram at Jessica underscore LaFalse. And that's probably the easiest way to stay in touch on what I'm doing sensually for women. That's the most pertinent.
I'm so excited for you to birth this program and space. I have just been like feeling the potency of it for a long time because I've known you for so long, but and I just know how deep you are in the integrity of holding that kind of space for women. And what I really appreciate about Jess, and I think that this just comes through the conversation, but I was meaning to say it in the beginning, just like the practical wisdom that you hold, but also like the very mystical, spiritual aspect too, that I just feel is a beautiful merging that women get to experience. And I really feel that that facilitates a sense of being held, like having, again, very grounded, beautiful, practical application with the very spiritual, energetic, emotional components of, what is a part of our womanhood and our sensuality and sexuality. So, Jess's spaces are just really beautiful and so expansive. And I'll have all of her information linked here below so you can connect with her. And I'm just so grateful, Jess. I always love our conversation so much. So much always moves and opens in such gorgeous ways. So I just thank you for your presence.
Thank you. I'm just so honored to be here and to the women listening. Thank you for welcoming me into your space. It's been a long time coming, and I'm just so honored to be here. So thank you for having me.
Always so good. And you can reach out to either of us too with reflections, revelations, insights, all of the things. We truly love hearing from you. And we'll see you next time on the podcast.